Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and then I'm going to read it out of two different translations. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that through faith, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Verse 16 of chapter 3, that's our main focus, in the New King James Version says, I pray that he would grant, or he would give to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The New Living Translation says it this way, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. We're going to talk about for a few moments, I'm jumping off into the deep end of the pool. We're going to talk about his glory. And when we talk about his glory, I recognize that the words I'm going to use are really, really, they fall short to fully describe his glory, but we're going to give it a shot. We're going to talk about, because Paul was praying that out of his unlimited resources, he may strengthen you, and unlimited resources are found in his glory. So what does that mean, his glory? Recognizing that God is never tapped out. God never comes to a place and said, you know what, I'm working in South America right now, I got nothing for North America. Or I'm in Africa right now, so sorry Asia, you're out. God is never tapped out with his resources. Can you say yes and amen to that? God never goes, sorry, I'm empty. First of the month, I'll be back at it. God has unlimited resources that's found in his glory, but what does that mean? What does that look like? And Paul says there's a value to it, that we might have Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, but that we might be strengthened in the inner person. So this idea to be strengthened means to make strong, to be strong, or to make you strong. So in essence, none of us have perfect strength in God. None of us, when we accept Jesus Christ, now we are fully strong in God. From that point on, where we don't have weakness, we don't have challenge, we don't have situations we face that would try to weaken us. But Paul says that God, by the glorious riches, can continue to give you strength. Where at? In the inner person, in the inner man, in the inner being. So this strength that he gives to us, it's a continuation of being strengthened. As Psalm 84 says, they go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. That God wants you to go not from strength to weakness and then get a little bit better, but he wants us to continually, in our walk with him, become stronger and stronger and stronger, recognizing we will have situations where that strength will be challenged. And so God is continually strengthening us with unlimited resources that's found in his glory. So this takes place in the inner being. This takes place in who we really are, in what we really believe. It's where we really trust. It's who we really connect. See, what you see here is not really Mike Richardson. What I see here is not really who you are. Your body is just an expression of who you really are. The real person is found inside this thing called the body. This body right here is a representation of what is going on in the inward person. And I don't know about y'all, but this body isn't getting stronger. This body is, as Paul said, though we are wasting away outwardly, he says inwardly, we are being renewed. When? Day by day. I can't do the things I used to do when I was 25, right? In some ways, I don't want to do the things I was doing when I was 25. How many of you have found aches and pains? I know I was getting old when I went to bed and woke up with an injury, right? Or you see Facebook, someone invites you to a class reunion, and you look at them and say, man, how did those people get so old, right? They look old, we look the same. But in the reality of things, Paul says, listen, outwardly we're not getting younger, we're getting older, but that's not who we really are. Inwardly, we can be renewed day by day. Inwardly is where the change takes place. Inwardly is where our personality, our character. Inwardly is where our imagination and thoughts dwell. Inwardly, for those who are followers of Christ, is where the Holy Spirit dwells. It's inward, right, that God wants to renew and strengthen us. And our bodies are just an expression of what's going on inwardly. Unless we pretend, unless we act, unless we put on a persona, our bodies will tell people what's going on inwardly. Our words will express what's going on in our heart. If you see someone with their head down and they're walking around like this, their body's expressing what's going on inwardly. If you see someone like, hey, how are you doing? Our bodies are expressing outwardly what's going on inwardly. And God wants to transform us inwardly, and our bodies will be a reflection of that. And let me encourage you. To act and pretend takes a lot of energy. We try to live like this is who we are. And when God is doing something inwardly, our bodies will follow through. Now, it's an important point, and I'm going to come back to that in a moment, at least as for me, where we're going. So, God has unlimited resources that's found in his glory. Now let's talk about his glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, I feel so inadequate to talk about his glory. As we were singing, the thought of his glory just hit me. That's why there was such emotion. Because to talk about his glory it's just not one thing. It's not just, I got it. His glory is so magnificent that to get our arms around it, it's just amazing. You know where I'm going. It's more than a definition. So kabod in the Hebrew means weightiness. Doxa in the Greek for the word glory means the substance or essence, or it's this intrinsic value of who God is. Now let me speak about it this way, and I want to give credit. I've done a lot of reading on this, but there was one guy, when I heard him and I read him, it resonated with me, and his name is John Piper. John Piper has been a pastor for many, many years, a theologian. And I'm going to give him an assist because some of the thoughts came from him today. So to understand his glory, because this is important, Paul says his infinite value is found in his glory. The unlimited resources are discovered in his glory. So for us to know about his glory, we're going to do a biblical comparison real quick between God's holiness and his glory. That his holiness and his glory are not the same thing. So would you go with me to Isaiah chapter 6? And I promise I'm going to really try to tie this in together. But go to Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah, a prophet of God, who was a mouthpiece for God, who spoke for God, had an encounter with God. And many of you know this verse, or some of you may know this verse, but Isaiah had this scene of the Lord, this divine encounter with God. And here's what he wrote in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, would you say it out loud with me? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So the angels are crying out who God is. He is holy, holy, holy. God is holy, and you would think God is holy, the whole earth is full of holiness. That's not what they say. They say that God is holy and the earth is full of something, his glory. That holy and glory are two different things. That God is holy, and he say it three times to emphasize that this cannot change. God is holy. Now, when we talk about the holiness of God, we're talking about God is in a class by himself. That there's no one who can compare to God in his perfection, in his greatness, in his worth, in his love. God is holy. He is separate from everyone else. He is distinct from every other person. He has such value and worth that we cannot even understand how great he is. And nobody can imitate him. Nobody can improve upon him. And nobody can determine outside of who he is. No one can place a value on God, say that you are this. God alone can say, I am great and mighty and awesome and powerful and all loving because I am holy. He's separate from every other being on the planet, every other being in the world. He is separate unto himself. He's holy. And he is so great and so marvelous and so worthy and so loving unto himself that you and I can never, ever understand that. We can never, ever grasp the greatness and the worth and the value of God because he's holy. He is separate unto himself, and we will never grasp his holiness. So what does God do? God doesn't want to be this great God who's separate from his people. So what does he do? God uses his glory to reveal his essence. His glory is the way in which he manifests who he is in his holiness. So his glory is this infinite beauty and greatness of his perfections. God in his glory, it's him going public with his holiness. It is him granting us an opportunity to apprehend his holiness through his glory. So what does he do? Psalm 19 verse 1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. So what does God do? With the span of his hand, he creates the heavens and the earth. And what are they? They are not his essence. They are his glory defining and manifesting and describing his holiness. So when you see the stars and when you see the sky and when you see the earth and when you see the beauty of his hand, it's his glory revealing to us the essence of who he is. He's holy. If you can tonight, look out at the stars. And the Bible says he knows everyone by name. Because of who he is in his holiness, his glory says now the sun is not going to rise in the west. It's going to rise in the east. Because of his glory, you're going to have seasons of life. Because of his glory, you can count on there's going to be summer and winter and fall and spring. You're not going to have summer, winter, spring, fall. It's the seasons of life because God is trying to proclaim to the world through his glory that in my essence, I am great and I am worthy and I am love and I have utmost value, but you will never understand that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my glory so that you might begin to understand who I am in my essence. His glory, like our bodies, is the demonstration of his essence. Because we can't get his holiness, but we can apprehend his glory. So God, in his wisdom, what does he do? It wasn't enough for the heavens to declare his glory. So read with me John chapter 1, verse 14. Here's what John says. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. That's an important word. It means to temple. It means to tabernacle. It means to stay there in a place. It wasn't in and out. It wasn't a hotel. It was a home. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what does God do now? God, who is holy, 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 separate from all of us. No one will ever achieve or be like him ever because he's holy. He now reveals to us the essence of his character and nature. And I know these words are even falling short, but I'm trying my best. This essence, this who he is, I'm going to let you see me through my glory, by the heavens, by creation, by all the beauty around you, by the birds and the fish and the oceans. I'm going to let you see that a bit of my nature through this, but that's not enough. So what am I going to do? My Son, God, the Son, is going to come in the flesh just like you and I. He's going to come. So what we can now see in the face of Jesus, we can behold God's glory. So when you see, as you read Jesus walking on the earth, what are you doing? You're seeing Jesus demonstrating the essence of God by the glory that was on his life. Hopefully this is making sense to y'all. That God, you can't grasp his holiness. You can't get it. So God doesn't just stay out there distant. He now in his son goes, I'm going to show you my essence. I'm going to show you my personhood. I'm going to show you what I am about. I'm not going to leave you by yourself or just going, man, how great you are. I'm going to bring my son in the flesh and he's going to demonstrate to you, he's going to manifest to you my glory by the way he lives. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. He says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful world. So what do we see now? We see that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He exactly representing to us who God's essence is, who his being is. So when you read the life of Jesus, when you read how he responded to people, you are seeing the glory of God, which is a manifestation of the essence of God. Just like here, you see Mike Richardson physically, but this is only a representation of who I really am. To really know me, to really know you, it's not just recognizing you and calling you by name. It's not say, I know you physically and I know you by name. I really don't know you until I know the essence. I know the inner person that you are. And you don't know someone else unless you really know their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, their ideas, the way they process information. That's the real you. So when you and I, this body dies, you don't die because this is just a house of the real you. Jesus housed his body, was a radiant manifestation and an exact representation of who God is in his holiness. So that we now can have a closer grasp when we cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. His glory says, I'm going to let you apprehend that so you know what you're talking about and what you are experiencing, and it's called my glory. Dear family, his glory doesn't just reside in a worship service. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go back. Let me back up. Okay. So, why is this important? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. Because God didn't stop there. God didn't stop with his son being the exact radiant representation of his of the Father. He didn't stop now with just Jesus. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you read it out loud with me? Everyone, you can read from your own version or read it on the screen. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, go ahead and read out loud with me, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Pause right there. Go back. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Too often, we think the Spirit of the Lord resides in a building. Then when we talk about the Spirit of the Lord, we're talking about, let's go to church where the Spirit of the Lord is. Uh-uh. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Always. When you've accepted Christ as your Savior, Holy Spirit is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Keep going. Read out loud with me. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Keep going. If there's one more, is there one more? Okay, so here it is. Paul was contrasting Moses when he was in the presence of God. The glory of God would shine upon his face and it freaked people out. That his glory, his face would actually literally glow. So when he was with God, he would take off the veil, he'd be in his glory, and his face would physically glow. And so God, what did God, when he would talk to people, he would have to put a veil over his face so that he wouldn't freak people out. Okay? Now Paul says, because of Jesus, the new covenant, we don't have to put a veil over our hearts. We don't have to put a veil over our lives. Because we are being transformed in his image. Where? In the inner being, into his image with ever increasing glory. That Moses' face eventually began to fade. The glory would come off his face. But for we as followers of Jesus Christ, it's ever increasing glory. Where? In the inner being. By whom? The Holy Spirit who resides in our heart. And so Paul says, I'm praying for this, that you and I, with God's unlimited resources of His glory. What is His glory? The glory is the manifestation of who He is, His essence. That we'll never grasp this, but I will show you my glory so that you can begin to apprehend who I am. And as you understand my glory, you know me. And what happens is we become stronger and stronger and stronger because we are not We're not just receiving things from ourselves. We are receiving from God the Holy Spirit resources into our hearts that come from His glory. And as we understand His glory, as we get His glory, as we apprehend His glory, It strengthens us. It transforms us. It changes us. And we know it changes us because our bodies begin to manifest authentically who is living within us, Holy Spirit. So we don't have to pretend. We don't have to come into church and be like this and someone say, how are you doing? Fine. I'm doing well. And then we go back away. I'm just angry. How you doing? I'm doing well. That is acting. And the church is not about acting. The church is about you and I receiving unlimited resources from God that inwardly transforms us. His glory doesn't run out. And as we grasp His glory, we begin to understand His holiness and His worth and His value and His love. We have made God's holiness into a set of behaviors. We've made God's holiness into rules. I don't go here. I don't go there. I don't smoke that. I don't drink that. You know, my old thing, I don't go with girls who chew or drink or, you know, I just don't do these things because God, I'm holy. God's called me to be holy. That has nothing to do with God's holiness. Behaviors and rules are not God's holiness. God's holiness is the essence of who He is, and He wants to show us His glory so that we are transformed inwardly to be like Him who's holy. And you can't just define it. You can't just say, if you stop drinking that, now you're holy. If you stop watching that, now you're holy. Listen, you might not need to drink that and you probably shouldn't watch that, but that is not where the change happens. It happens as God unlimited with His unlimited resources. His glory comes and His glory is not out there. His glory is here. It's Holy Spirit. Remember, we can even say like this, it's holy, holy, holy Spirit. Because it's God who is holy. It is the Son who is holy, and it's the Spirit who is holy. So God went from the creation to his Son, now to the Holy Spirit, and now through us, we reflect what God is doing inwardly in our lives by his glory. So that's why you can have moments in a worship service where you just feel his presence. That's his glory. He's allowing you to sense his presence, the essence of who he is. As you open your heart and just begin to worship, you get to sense who he is. That's his glory. But his glory is going to be with you when you go home today. His glory will be at your job. His glory will be wherever you're at, because the glory doesn't come from there. The glory, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where is the Spirit of the Lord? Here. You carry the glory of God. And I really believe what conviction of the Holy Spirit is not him saying, knock it off, quit it, knock it off, don't do that. It's when something touches the glory within us and says, do you know that you were made for greater than that? Do you know it's not about your behaviors, what you choose to do or not do? Do you realize that the glory of Christ, 1 Peter 1:14 says, even if you're persecuted, here's why. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Do you realize, dear ones, that the glory of God is in you? And God wants to ever increase that. Paul calls it strengthened. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, it's being renewed. What is it? His glory. The manifestation of who he is to your inner person that changes the way you think, changes the way you believe, changes the way you respond. It's his glory. The glory of God was displayed through Jesus. Physically displayed through Jesus. If you want to see his glory, read his life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to see what glory looks like, read his life. But here's the other thing. Here's Paul's prayer. I pray that of God's unlimited resources, he would give you, according to his glory, in your inner being, power, strength. I think every once in a while we need to say to ourselves, wait a sec, what I'm feeling right now is just a feeling. I carry the glory of God. That thought I've been thinking of negative, that's not my thought. I carry the glory of God. And see, dear ones, this is so much more than I need to get my tongue under control. I need to get my thoughts under. I just need to. It's us trying to get better at this Christianity thing, and it'll never work. Because God is holy, you'll never be like him by yourself. And just because you've been able to accept and do certain behaviors and disciplines does not make you holy. Because God is separate. God is greater than that. We will never be him, ever, no matter how disciplined our life will be. We'll never be holy like him. So God gives us Holy Spirit to reveal to us. Here, where we really believe. Where we really trust. Who we really are. Right here. I keep pointing here. It might be here. I don't know. It could be here. It could be there. I don't know. But it's who you really are. Who are you really? You don't have to come to church and now start pretending. Because that doesn't change anything. You don't have to live one way in front of your folks or one way in front of Christian people and another way outside of them, because that doesn't change anything. Well, then God is holy. He's angry with me. No, he's not. He gave us his Holy Spirit because he knows we can never grasp that by ourselves. So Jesus said, even, don't you know I'm going away, but if I go away, I'm going to give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and he will be with you always. So Friday afternoon when your boss cusses you out for something you didn't know, didn't do, the glory of God is on your life at that moment. When you and your wife are doing this and having a kak-kak-kak-kak back and forth, the glory of God is there, right there at that moment, to begin responding in a way that is holy and not just we got our behaviors under control. Now, why is this important? And by the way, Paul says in Philippians this, he says in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, listen. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. One day, this body that has a tendency to go to bed and wake up with an injury, one day this physical body is going to be exactly like the Lord's glorious body. One day we will not have to wrestle with our thoughts. One day we will not have to say like I do now, if you smell the cookie, you put on 5 pounds. You eat carrots for a year and you drop an ounce. It's not fair. This body of mine is not fair. As it gets older, it just loves to put on weight. Anybody ever trouble that besides me? Anybody? Come on. Yeah, right? One day, the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to eat as much as we want, and we're still going to look svelte. It's going to be awesome. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyways, God eventually is going to take the glory of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to now fill us to where our whole bodies are glorious. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let me be done. And Paul closes with this. Why is this important? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is not talking about the moment when I was a young man, I said, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. And it's not talking about an insecurity. You know, sometimes we teach eternal insecurity, right? Where God, I don't know, I sinned today. I got saved probably 60 to 100 times when I was a kid. Made our books look really good at our church when they had to send in reports to the Assemblies of God how many people got saved. I alone made the numbers skyrocket. Because by on Friday, I messed up and I knew it was Sunday. If I didn't come to the altar, I was, you know, and Jesus came back, I could be out. So I would come to the, oh, I'm so sorry. About probably 15, 20 times a year, I got saved. It was great for the numbers, but the theology was wrong. Paul says, his glory will strengthen us, continue to make us strong, so that we have this assurance, what? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ will dwell. Remember when John said, we saw his dwelling amongst us? The glory? Same thought. That Jesus came and he dwelled among people. He stayed with them. He lived with them. He shared life with them. Now through the Holy Spirit, you and I have this assurance that Christ will dwell. And this thought means to settle down, to be at home, that Christ would feel completely at home in our hearts by faith. It speaks about this continual process that in our thoughts and our emotions and who we are in our inner being, that Christ is at home in those places. It means that, dear ones, we don't have a Sunday persona and a Tuesday afternoon persona. It means that in every part of our life, Christ is occupying that. When I'm at work, Christ is there. I treat people the same way I would at church. Why? Because Christ is dwelling in my heart. His glory is there no matter where I'm at. And by faith, by trust, by belief, by persuasion, that Christ is just all in all in my life. Where do you need Christ to strengthen you? Where do you feel like, man, it's just not working? It's just, God has unlimited resources for you. Found in the manifestation of understanding who He is. That's why Paul said in Philippians, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." What is His glory? The manifestation, the revelation of the essence of who He is. So as a pops, as a dad, is He going to take care of you? Yeah, but it's His glory where we receive faith and confidence in who He is. Everybody okay? I'm gonna lead you in a song that I've been singing all week. I've been singing this song over this sanctuary. His glory is here because you're here. But do you know that His glory resides in whatever address you have? That could be an apartment, that could be a trailer, or that could be a mansion. That doesn't matter. That's just a place where you live. Your body, you might be 6'4", 220, and totally cut, or you might be 5'10", a little bit overweight and losing his hair. It doesn't matter. Glory doesn't reside in the perfectness of the outward. Glory resides in here. And that's where real transformation takes place. So I'm going to ask you, you can stand, you can come to this altar, you can sit, but I'm going to ask you to sing this song with me, and because I want it to solidify in our hearts that the glory of God resides upon you because you have Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And with unveiled faces, do you see that? That when you said, "Jesus, come into my heart," God's glory, the manifestation of who He is, began to reside in you. And that's where real change takes place. And Father, I pray that You grant them according to the riches of Your glory, that they may be strengthened with might, with power, through the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith.